ready to wiggle. We've been ready for so long. Get ready to wiggle. When you wiggle, you can't go wrong. Get ready to wiggle. Wiggle will make you big and strong. Get ready to wiggle. Come on, wiggle to this song. Wiggle to this song.
Hey, gang. Welcome to Boomer Vision. Yes, this is a Boomer Vision on National Bugle Radio. It's a special Wiggly Boomer Vision on National Bugle Radio, which is on RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. The Jiu-Jitsu Dojo of Free Speech. It's where free speakers come and they work out and they get really tough and they work out with each other and they may roll on the mats and they get big and strong. That's right. And our free speech gets big and strong, and that's what RBN is. That's where we come and do these things. So contribute to republicbroadcasting.org by going to republicbroadcasting.org and clicking on the donate button and sending badly needed funding, and go to nationalbugle.com. That's where you download the Pro-Certified app. That's where you can make sure that you will lead a non-kosher certified lifestyle, because that's everything you want to be, which is non-kosher certified. Okay. Are the wiggles gone? All right. Because I didn't want to say this in front of the wiggles, but seeing as they're gone, Tucker Carlson's a fag. All right? He's a big fag. His website, you know what his website is? It's tuckercarlson.fag. That's what it is. So, as you know, I've challenged him to a cage fight, but he's never going to show because he's a big fag and he knows I'd totally kick his ass. I know he does some, he says some things other people don't say, and he is kind of the edge of the Overton window, but he pisses me off, you know? It reminds me of a story my dad told me, all right? My dad told me, my dad was, you know, Catholic, Irish Catholic, you know, went to St. Francis's Catholic school or whatever. And at any rate, this is a story he told me. It was about job. I don't know much about the Bible. You all know that. But it was about Job. And, you know, Job was like God. Well, I mean, Job's wife and his family died, and he was getting boils and all this stuff. And but he kept believing in God, and he kept being faithful to God. But you know, more and more trials and tribulations came his way, and finally, Job looks up in the sky and says, "God, why?" And then the clouds part, and God sticks his head out and says, "'Cause you piss me off." And that's how I feel about Tucker Carlson, okay? Okay, so he does some stuff that's important. Yeah. Whatever. He pisses me off mostly about the China thing, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. He had something on wind tonight. And this whole anti-wind thing, this is, it's just a knee-jerk reaction. There is a tendency by a lot of people, when they don't know anything about it, they just default to conservative ink. And, you know, so you got the Green New Deal and this and that. And so in this case, actually, they're not even defaulting to conservative ink. They're just defaulting to the opposite of Alejandro Cortez, whatever her name is, AOC, Sandy Cortez. And just because Sandy Cortez supports something doesn't mean you have to just do the opposite. So wind turbines are actually pretty awesome, but I'll get into them later. Whatever. I mean, there are some things that honestly, we've got our backs against the wall with the vaccine passports. which I think sum it up. There's two things about the vaccine passports. One, the vaccines, and two, the passports. I'll get into that later. But we've got our backs against the wall, and, you know, even though, like, yeah, later on, I'll talk about wind turbines, and I'll have a show on that. But right now, I can't be bothered. All right, we've got our backs against the wall. The big threats is all this corona apocalypse, but we've got a war with China looming. You've got the Republicans in Congress who are trying to introduce legislation to allow basically the same kind of carte blanche that the Congress gave Bush to invade Iraq in the wake of 9/11. Where the Republicans want to give Joe Biden that kind of carte blanche, and of course the Democrats they'll be for it. So carte blanche to wage war against China. So I mean this is not just some far-fetched notion. And you know Biden's you've heard my shows with Cato, I hope, and if you haven't, every Monday we're doing a show. But so Tucker Carlson, so he's got the anti-China thing, he's got the anti-wind thing, and I swear to God, if he starts going anti-cicada on me, you know, I've already challenged him to this octagon. If he goes anti-cicada, I'm not going to wait for him to come to the octagon. The octagon's going to him, all right? I'm telling you. But what I want to do is I'm going to play... I talked about this on Stormfront, I know. I'm going to play a clip from Tucker Carlson's conversation with one Elbridge Colby, or Colby, I guess it is, Elbridge Colby, who is a former Assistant Secretary of Defense for Strategic Nonsense, whatever the official title was. I think he was in the Trump administration for a year or something. He's somebody who went to Harvard and then he went to Yale Law School, and he's involved in all this neocon stuff. And you'll hear him disparaging the neocons as if he's not one himself. But let's just start off with this. Okay, so hold on a second. Let me get it all queued up. Mr. T, you ready? All right.
Okay, so before we get into the book specifically, tell us about, I mean, the flashpoint in the minds of most people who are paying any attention at all is Taiwan, right? Which has been a separate country since 47 or 49, my memory fails.
Basically since 49, yeah.
49. So the Chinese believe it's part of China. Yeah. The government in Taipei disagrees.
Okay, this is the first thing. Okay. You got this Elbridge Colby guy. Who's just going along with the premise of Tucker's question, which is completely false, okay? That it's been a separate country since 1949. It hasn't been a separate country since 1949. 1949 is when Chiang Kai-shek, who was on the losing end of a civil war, Chiang Kai-shek, who was the president of the Republic of China, fled with his army across the Taiwan Straits to the island of Taiwan, which was part of the Republic of China. It had just actually been returned to the Republic of China by Japan 4 years earlier at the end of World War II. So he fled. His government was called the Republic of China. They went to Taiwan to shore up their strength for an eventual reinvasion of the mainland. Meanwhile, Mao Zedong set up the People's Republic of China with a capital in Beijing, and that has been the status quo. Taiwan, Tucker says China considers Taiwan part of China, and the Chinese people and the government in Taiwan disagrees. The government in Taiwan doesn't disagree. The government of Taiwan still calls itself the Republic of China. I've said this over and over again. So this is just, they're starting from a completely false premise. So they've never had a declaration of independence. Yeah, there are people in the Taiwanese in the current government in Taipei who wish they were an independent country, but they've never declared independence. The country is still called the Republic of China. They have not renounced their claim that Taiwan is part of China and that, in fact, they're the rightful rulers of China. So this is the situation. And so anyway, we're going to go on. He's going to ask about should we militarily defend Taiwan. Listen to this.
Our agreement has always been, my understanding is, unspoken, but we will, in effect, guarantee Taiwan's independence with force if necessary. Will we do that? Should we do that? Will China move against Taiwan?
Let me start by saying something. I mean, your question about should Americans defend Montenegro was in the forefront of my mind throughout writing this book, because a central motivating part of writing this book.
Right. So that was, we're talking about the defense guarantee within NATO.
Exactly.
An attack on one country is an attack on all.
But you're asking a question that deserves not only to be asked, but to be seriously and credibly answered, not mocked and dismissed. You are asking the right question, and it's up to people, hopefully like me, to provide answers and develop a strategy that's in tune with that. And I think the basic...
So in other words, what you're saying is you don't believe that all post-war systems are worth preserving. You're not a neocon.
No, it's contextual. And it's always got to get...
It matters what the specific example.
Exactly. It matters what the threat is. It matters how much power we have. It matters who else has power, who's willing to allocate. All those things are contextual and relative. The fundamental, like, orienting sort of root of everything, though, should be, is this in American people's interest? Henry Kissinger has a funny quote. He says,
Okay, forget Henry Kissinger. He said, is it in American people's interest? And that is not his question. This is, you'll listen, you'll hear it the whole time. Nobody is talking about what's in the American people's interest. What is in the American people's interest? Is massive immigration in our interest? Of course it's not, all right? Our rulers are not ruling in our interest. The coronapocalypse is not in our interest, okay? Black Lives Matter burning down the cities isn't in our interest, but it's endorsed. It's endorsed by our government. They've painting Black Lives Matter murals across the street from the White House, right? So all of this, the promotion of gayness and trannyism. So our government's interest is clearly not the same as the interests of our people. And neither is the interest of the American military. The American military, these flag officers, they are pursuing their own interests. They have an archipelago of bases all over the world. They have massive defense budgets. The American military, the generals, they were all gung-ho on all these wars for Israel, okay? So the interests of the American government, the American state, the American military are not in the least bit congruent with the interests of the American people. He said the American people because he's a liar. Absolutely. He's a liar. He tries to differentiate himself from neocons. His organization that he works for is the Center for a New American Security. Okay. The whole term New American is a neocon term. Project for a New American Century. Don't you remember that? And then Victoria Nuland's, her group is a New American something. Why a New America? Well, because the old America was a white country ruled by white people. The New America is a non-white country ruled by Jews. And that's what he's fine with. All right, let's listen to some more.
Only in America is it an epithet to be called a realist. Well, by the same token, I think only in America is it considered an epithet to be saying we're going to do this in American citizens' interests. I mean, even Germans and Japanese aren't shy about saying that.
Right. Why are we?
So, but
what's the point of having a government except to act on behalf of the people who pay for it and whom it represents, right?
Right, it's in the Constitution, right?
Right.
So, like, okay, that's the orienting point. But, and you don't believe this, and I'm not suggesting you do, but that doesn't mean that you take the narrowest possible conception, right? That means, well, let's think about the American people's interests over time and in an enlightened way. I mean, we shouldn't get taken for a ride.
American people's interests. What is he talking about?
but it doesn't mean always zero-sum thinking, but we are going to think about the optimal outcome. I mean, to take an historical example, my instinct is not to get into wars, but I think if we look back and we look at the interwar period, it would have been better if we had had a more robust engagement in Europe in the 1930s. Because if Hitler had seen that he wouldn't get away with the Rhineland, maybe we would have avoided World War II altogether, and we would have been...
We could have avoided World War II altogether by avoiding World War II altogether, right? Wait, what? So, you know, this is just an example of how he has been, you know, he went to Harvard. He's a young guy. Harvard and Yale were completely dominated by Jews. He is completely in this Jewish mindset. Hitler's the bad guy. Hitler's the bad guy. Imagine that. God. All right. Let's just keep going. Oh, my God.
Ended up spending not only a lot less money, but a lot fewer Americans would have died. So that's in our interest, right? So it's kind of like a trade, you know? And so that's kind of how I approach it. And Taiwan is like the raggedy edge, right? And I think the question of whether we should defend Taiwan is an absolutely critical and valid question. My answer is that I think we should defend it, but a big central part of this book is to make sure that we are able to defend Taiwan in a way that's consistent with what we are prepared to risk and cost for that venture. The reason Taiwan is important is for two points. One is...
Okay, so 2 points. Let's hear number one.
Is MacArthur called it the unsinkable carrier, aircraft carrier. It's right in the middle of what's called the first island chain. And this the core of what I think of is an anti-hegemonic coalition, basically a balancing group of states to keep China in check, not to dominate China, not to embarrass China, but to keep China in check and make sure they respect our interests, is a bunch of countries that are largely located in the Western Pacific. If China dominates Taiwan, it has uninhibited projection into the Central Pacific. What does that mean?
Okay, hold on just a second. So that first island chain, first of all, I mean, this is all stuff from immediate post-World War II. His whole strategic outlook is 1940s, right? It's even pre-Cold War. It's even pre-Cold War. And if you look at your globe, I have a globe because the Earth is a sphere. I have a globe right here on my desk. And you look at Asia and Pacific, okay? So you got the continent of Asia, you've got the Pacific Ocean. But you'll notice that pretty much the whole way, there are a bunch of seas. So the Asian mainland, except for like Kamchatka, the Asian mainland really doesn't have Pacific coasts. If you're going to be in Asia and you're going to like surf in the Pacific Ocean, as opposed to the Sea of Japan or the East China Sea or the South China Sea or whatever, you are going to be on an island. If you're going to go surfing in the Pacific, in Asia, you're going to be on an island. You're not going to be on the mainland unless you want to, like there's a little bit of Kamchatka, but that's, you know, that's up by the Aleutian Islands, so you're not going to be surfing there. So you have the Sea of Ohotsk, you have the Sea of Japan, you have the Yellow Sea, the East China Sea, the South China Sea. And so you have these island chains coming from Kamchatka Peninsula, the Kuril Islands going down to Hokkaido, which is the northern island of Japan. You got the Japanese islands, which then go into the Ryukyu Islands, which is a Japanese territory as far as Okinawa. You have a bit of a gap. Then you've got Taiwan. Then you've got another gap. And then you've got the Philippines and Indonesia. And that's... So the thing is, for Russia, and same for China, if you have a seaport, a naval base on your own continental territory, it doesn't go directly to the Pacific Ocean. And if you're thinking about having a naval war in the Pacific Ocean, then you need to get out. Well, here, I'm just going to pause for a second. We'll be right back.
Salad, yummy, yummy. Fruit salad, yummy, yummy. Fruit salad, yummy, yummy.
Yummy, 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 yummy. Fruit salad.
Let's make some fruit salad today.
Oh, oh, oh.
It's fun to do. It's a healthy way.
Oh, oh, oh.
Take all the fruit that you want to eat. It's going to be a fruit salad.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now.
The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
We're on our way to Wiggle Bay.
Oh, I love that Wiggle Bay.
Just a few waves and we'll be on our way. You'll see gulls and trees and feel the breeze.
Oh, feel, feel in that sand and let the waves touch your knees.
We're on our way to Wiggle Bay.
And we are right back. I didn't want to talk over the Wiggles. So, this was the whole thinking back in the Cold War, in the 1950s. Russia had a naval base at Vladivostok, and maybe, you know, smaller one, maybe at Nohotka. But Vladivostok was their big naval base. It's in the Sea of Japan. And it, as long as the Japanese, if you had like big artillery at the northern edge of Hokkaido, and you've got it at the Tsushima Straits, you could conceivably pin in the Russian or the Soviet fleet, their Pacific fleet. Right now, the thing is, China has a lot more ports. I mean, China's got just a load of ports, and pinning in China would be a lot harder than. A, it would be a lot harder than pinning in the Soviet Union, because you've got a lot more big gaps. You know, from Vladivostok, I mean, you either have to go through the Tsushima Straits between South Korea and Japan, with the Tsushima Island in the middle, okay? Or you'd have to go through the Tsugaru Straits, which are between Honshu, which is the main Japanese island, and Hokkaido, which is the second biggest Japanese island. Or you'd have to go between Hokkaido and Sakhalin Island. And these are all very narrow straits. But China, the idea of pinning in China's navy, first of all, the idea of pinning in China's navy, there's just way more oceanic territory there. The Ryukyu Islands are very small islands, and many of them are not particularly fortified. So I don't know how you're expecting to pin them in through the Ryukyu Islands. The same with between Taiwan and the Philippines. But so, I mean, I think that's, A, it's very old-fashioned thinking. B, it's very militaristic thinking. And C, what the heck does China need to have? I mean, what's the idea of like, China? We need to go to war so that China wouldn't conceivably, perhaps, maybe, wouldn't be able to get into their aircraft carriers into the Pacific? I mean, why do they even need their aircraft carriers in the Pacific? I mean, okay, I was never in the military. But the thing is, the United States needs to get into the Pacific because we're trying to dominate the world. We're trying to conquer the world, right? We're trying to have regime change everywhere. We want to project our military might everywhere and subject everyone to our rule. The Chinese aren't trying to do that, okay? And, you know, we need to have our aircraft carriers, which we do, right off the coast of China, because we might invade China. The Chinese don't want to invade us. You know, why? Why? Why would they want to invade us? What the heck do we have that they would want? Take a look around. Take a look around. Nobody would want to invade us, except for Haitians and Guatemalans and Africans. They're invading us. Chinese have better sense. But another thing is, you know, they got their hypersonic weapons. So, you know, the thing is, you know, what is it? He said MacArthur was a general in World War II. He called Taiwan an unsinkable aircraft carrier, right? Well, guess what? You know, in World War II, you didn't have intercontinental missiles. You didn't have hypersonic missiles. The idea that you need to have an island off the coast of somewhere to have some sort of deterrent, this is 70, 80-year-old thinking. And it really is. So he's absolutely stupid about this. And the Chinese aren't trying to conquer America. They're not trying to conquer the world. No, the Jews are. Okay, the Jews are, and he's working for the Jews. So keep that in mind. All right, let's go on a bit further. God, he pisses me off.
I mean, it means we're going to be thinking more along the lines of the Battle of Midway than a defense of Taiwan. The Chinese are going to have 3 aircraft carriers by the middle of the decade and more by the end, let alone the next decade. So we're talking about a military that's going to look more like the Japanese military of World War II than just this defensive thing that people seem to think. The second reason Taiwan...
One more thing. The Japanese... I'm sorry, they were the good guys in World War II, all right? Or at least they were the neutral guys, but, you know, the Allies were the bad guys. We shouldn't have been in that war. That was, you know, the way not to get into the war was not to get into the war. All right, we'll keep going.
Taiwan is important, is what you suggested. It's important for our credibility. And look, neocons and others tend to talk about credibility in this undifferentiated way, like we have to stand by stupid, foolish commitments until, you know, the end of time, otherwise people won't believe us. No, look, people are smart. They know sometimes you have to, you know, get out of Afghanistan, for instance, which I think was the right decision, if catastrophically badly handled.
Catastrophically badly handled. It's the best thing by
potato, hot potato.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Hot potato, hot potato. Hot potato, hot potato. Potato. Potato, potato, potato.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Chugga chugga big red car. We'll travel near and we'll travel far. Toot toot chugga chugga big red car. We're gonna ride the whole day long.
And we are back. I want to get back into this his business about the catastrophically poorly handled Afghan withdrawal. All right, because again, he is thinking from the point of view of our ruling elite, who hate us. All right, so he feels it was catastrophic that we left behind all these weapons that we could have used for a war against Iran, or maybe again, or a war against China, which is what he seems to like, or against the white people in America. Right. All right, let's keep going.
But if we pull back from Taiwan, where we basically are committed, I mean, we have an ambiguous commitment, but...
Ambiguous commitment. We don't recognize them as a country, all right? We have proclaimed that we will continue to sell them weapons, but we don't have any defense commitment to them. We don't have a defense commitment to them. We don't have a treaty with them. We don't even have, they don't even have an embassy in our country. The Chinese, the Beijing government... has an embassy. The Taiwanese government doesn't, because we don't recognize them as an independent country. We don't recognize them. So we don't have any... It's not even... to the extent it's ambiguous, it's because faggots like this guy are pushing for war with China.
Essentially, it's regarded by the people who matter, the decision makers in Asia, as the canary in the coal mine. If we pull back from that, an archipelago in the Western Pacific under the darkening shadow of Chinese military power... Well, what is the Philippines, archipelago in the Western Pacific under the darkening shadow of Chinese military, going to think? Well,
first of all, Taiwan's not an archipelago, it's an island.
Or Indonesia, or Japan. And at a certain point, the Chinese don't need to conquer every country in Asia to become dominant. They just need to show that this coalition we need to muster and sustain is hollow. And that might only take a few. And in a way, it's almost like the market. You know, you can have a run on the market if you have a couple of critical collapses.
That's right. So let me just push back or press forward a little bit on that. So the counterargument would be, well, you know, we didn't allow missiles in Cuba. We didn't control Cuba, but it's 90 miles from Key West, so we're not putting up with that. We're the dominant power in our hemisphere. It's our region. And so we have a right, some kind of moral right, to control what happens in our neighborhood. That would be the argument. So, like, why shouldn't China control what happens in Taiwan?
Well, I think it's strategic, and it has to do with economic power.
Go through specifically what it would mean for markets here.
Okay, now they're getting into the markets. You know, I found it really interesting that twice he mentioned neocons, like in the third person, as he was speaking. I did a little bit of looking into his organization. So let's what's this organization all about? All right. So the CNAS, the Center for New American Security. There is just an article from January 6th, 2014. So this is almost 8 years ago. And it's authored by Elbridge Colby, Julian Smith, and a couple other people. But so, I mean, he's been with this organization. CNAS welcomes new experts on strategy and statecraft. Whatever. Okay. Well, who is in this Center for a New American Strategy, right? This is this is his group. Okay. So who is in it? Let's go to their board of directors. Who do you see on the board of directors? A bunch of people. Richard Armitage. All right. Who is Richard Armitage again? He was Colin Powell's deputy secretary of state in the Bush administration. All right. So big neocon there. You got Michelle Flournoy, who would have been Hillary's Secretary of Defense. It was pretty much settled that Michelle Flournoy was going to be the Secretary of Defense, and Victoria Nuland was going to be Secretary of State. She was going to have She was going to have like a girl power cabinet. But anyway, Michelle Flournoy, she is a Hillary Clinton style neocon. Who else is here? Oh, Joseph Lieberman. Yeah. Joseph Lieberman, you remember him. He was the senator from Tel Aviv in the United States Senate. He was Al Gore's running mate. Isn't it too bad that Al Gore didn't become president and so he could be assassinated and Lieberman would have been the president? Lieberman, yeah, he was McCain's mentor. I mean, we all think of McCain as being a big neocon, but Lieberman was his mentor. And then you got a bunch of other Jews, you know, Michael Sonnenfeld, Douglas Silverman, Karen Seitz. Just look at this. I mean, here's another one. Secretary Jay Johnson. You remember him? He was the Homeland Security Secretary under Obama. Okay, who let in a whole bunch of refugees and whatnot. So you got these people. And then you look at the board of advisors. Here's a good name. Where was this name? We got, where is she? Paula Dobriansky. I mean, you get all these Jews, all these neocons. And he's talking about other people as neocons. So, I mean, really, give me a break. Okay. What else is interesting about this group? Okay, this Elbridge Colby guy that Tucker had on, Elbridge Colby, the Council on Foreign Relations. He's involved with that. But let's go back up. Let's see. Who's funding all this? All right. Okay, this is a good page. CNAS supporters. So this is contributions from October 1st, 2019 to September 30th, 2020. All right? This is just 1 year. This is a 1 year period. This, I guess, is their fiscal year. Okay. Who gave a half million and above? Northrop Grumman Systems Corporation. This is a big weapons manufacturer. Gave at least half a million. It could be a lot more than half a million. Who else? Oh, there's a couple others. I don't know. I don't know the Quadrivium Foundation. I don't know Smith Richardson Foundation. I do know the Department of State. So your tax dollars are going to this organization. All right? Your tax dollars here. Your tax dollars are supporting the agenda of Richard Armitage and Joseph Lieberman. All right? That's your tax dollars. The next, they have between a quarter million and a half million. And here you've got the U.S. Office of the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy, the U.S., and then also, separate from that, the U.S. Office of the Secretary of Defense, Office of Net Assessment. So the Pentagon gave them at least a half a million dollars. Then you go down to, and there's a whole bunch here at this level. Oh, my God, there's a whole bunch, between 100,000 and a quarter million. And Bank of America, Brighton Marine, which I don't know, Carnegie Corporation of New York, Chevron Corporation, Cisco Systems, Comcast, Craig Newmark Philanthropies, I don't know, Data Robot Incorporated, Carol Dean, Democracy Fund, there's a whole bunch of, the Embassy of Japan. The Japanese government has been very anti-China. The Japanese people are very anti-Chinese, and that's a problem. Facebook, Georgetown University, which is a big neocon school, the German Federal Ministry of Economic Affairs, Carl and Nancy Glaser, Goldman Sachs, Goldman Sonnenfeld Foundation, Google. Oh, we keep going. Korea Foundation, the South Korean. The South Koreans is kind of tricky here. Lockheed Martin. I'm skipping some, but Lockheed Martin, a big weapons manufacturer. Luminate Foundation. I think that's associated with AT&T. I could be wrong. Microsoft. Prudential Financial Incorporation. Rockefeller Brothers. John Rosenwald. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, and if you don't know who those are, Eric Schmidt was a Google CEO. Doug Silverman, and on and on. And then the Taipei Economic and Cultural Representative Office, which is the unofficial Taiwan embassy. So, I mean, they're being funded directly from Taiwan, okay? Oh, and then you go down to the next level. It just goes on and on and on. It's endless, endless page. Between 50,000 and 100,000, you've just got this endless page of corporations. So there, I mean, how much is that? I mean, you're talking about how many tens of millions of dollars are they getting for this foundation? Okay, but what do the donors get? Well, here's the thing: if you donate, let's just say you donate at least 30,000. That's called bipartisan level. You're a bipartisan. Oh, bipartisan's good, isn't it? I think it is. And they list the perks that you can get and opportunity to request two private briefings with CNAS experts during a membership year held virtually until further notice. You have to hold them virtually because of the deadly coronavirus. Opportunity to work with a CNS designated partnership liaison. So, you're getting, so this think tank is also a lobby. It's a lobby. And so basically they're going to lobby on your behalf. But what if you give more? What if you give at the innovative level, 60,000? Or what if you give at the bold level? No, okay, innovative level. What do you get? Availability of CNS experts to receive one briefing from a corporate partner. So you get to tell them your interests. You get to tell them your agenda, and then they can lobby for you. And if you give the 120,000, that's the bold level. Opportunity to request a total of six private briefings. Virtually. So this is A, neocon. I've established with all those names, neocon. B, corporate. I mean, you're getting massive money from these corporations and from the government and from rich Jews. And then it's a lobbying thing. And so Tucker, why do we need Tucker to bring on this guy to show for a war with China? Why we have to protect Taiwanese independence that they've never declared? This is just absolute madness. And so Tucker, go to hell, okay? We don't need you. Here's the thing. I mean, he does good stuff, but he does bad stuff. Did you ever, are you familiar with the Norse myths, Norse mythology? This is, the Scandinavian mythology, pre-Christian, it's pagan. Loki was a giant. The giants were actually the enemies of the gods. The giants were the enemies, just like, the Titan, the frost giants in the Norse mythology. In Greek mythology, it was the Titans, but they were giants. So the frost giants, and Loki was actually, he was a giant, but he had some sort of blood alliance with Odin. Well, he came and lived in Asgard with the gods, but he was always causing mischief. And he was responsible for the death of Balder the Beautiful. He tricked Balder's twin brother, who was blind, to shoot Balder with a dart made of mistletoe, which mistletoe was the one object on Earth that had neglected to swear an oath. Or the gods neglected to get mistletoe to swear an oath never to hurt Balder. At any rate, that's too much. But the thing is, Loki was—he wound up being pretty evil. And in the end, in the Ragnarok, because I'm going all Norse mythology eschatology here. But in the end, Loki's serpent son kills Thor. Loki's wolf son kills Odin. Loki himself kills Heimdall, and that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. And Tucker Carlson is shaping into kind of a Loki kind of character. He started off as a neocon, a frost giant, but then he came over, and it seemed like he had like some sort of blood brotherhood with Trump. And he did some things. He kept Trump from bombing Iran. Apparently, he did some things, and he still comes out with some good stuff. But if he leads us into a war with China, I mean, what has he done? I mean, because all the stuff that he says, has he stopped the corona apocalypse? No, he hasn't stopped the corona apocalypse. Has he stopped the Black Lives Matter stuff? Has he stopped the immigration? He complains about it. Can he stop? I'm not saying he can stop it, but he can. He's riling the public up to a war with China. And I was talking to a stranger today about the corona apocalypse, and all of a sudden the stranger starts talking to me about Wuhan Lab is now funding what is it called, enhanced, what's the whole thing, enhanced whatever research into some virus that will have an 80% mortality rate. And this is, nobody knows this. He doesn't know this. They're ratcheting up this hostility to China, and Tucker is the number one cheerleader for it. And to that, I say, can I say that on RBN? Maybe we can get one of those speech reversal guys to analyze that last statement. I don't know. Anyway, all right. So I had to get a lot of this off my chest. I was planning on having a show devoted to the Wiggles, but maybe after the break I'll talk about the Wiggles some. Wind turbines, you know, what's just a little bit. People will say, oh, it kills all the birds. I've been to a bunch of wind turbines because I have a background there, and I've never seen a dead bird under a wind turbine. But what I have seen is when I'm driving to the wind turbine farms, and as you're driving on any highway, you see a lot of dead animals at the side of the road. And does anybody care? Does anybody care when you see the dead squirrels and the dead woodchucks and the dead deer and the dead armadillo? Does anybody care? I mean, we just accept it. It's part of our modern industrial life. All right. Well, I guess, is that the Wiggles I hear? If it's not, I hope I hear them soon.
Captain Feathersaw fell asleep on his pirate ship. Then he woke up on a bomb.
Oh, my goodness me.
With roosters and ducks singing this song.
Quack, 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 quack.
When he talks, this is what he says.
Quack, 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 cock-a-doodle-doo.
He also does the farmyard dance, and you can do it too.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Okay, well, welcome back to the show. So, we just have a few minutes left. That's Tucker. Okay, so a lot of people don't know this, but aside from being a Tucker Carlson critic and a political scientist and analyst and a dog enthusiast, I'm also a Wiggles groupie. And I've gone to well over a dozen of their, probably about 20 of their concerts. I've been to Wiggles World in, what is it called? The Dream World in Australia, the Wiggles section. I've ridden the Big Red Car, and I've hung out with the Wiggles. It's pretty cool because I'll go back, and they talk to me from the stage, and because I kind of stand out, and I'll go back backstage or back wait for them to leave and talk to them on the way out and stuff like that. And they recognize me and they understand. And, I've had some experiences. One experience, this was in D.C. I've all over America. I've gone to Canada, seen that. But in D.C., I was talking to Anthony after the show, and he needed to go get some socks, right? so he says, where can I get socks around here? So I said, okay, well, here, I'll show you. And so we're walking through the streets of D.C. I'm taking him to the Heck Company or something to buy some socks. And right around the corner, Richard Spencer was having this conference, and of course you had the Black Israelites who were protesting. it's a very surreal experience. The Black Israelites who had these signs up saying, "White man, this is your future: slavery and nuclear annihilation." The Black Israelites, they were the people that were hassling the Covington kids. And our man Nick, not Nick Fuentes, but Nick Sandman, Mr. Sandman, that is. And then I was in Detroit and talking to Emma and Lucky Wiggle, and that was very surreal because we're across the street from Tiger Stadium, but you look around because there's a theater right there. But you look around and there are these abandoned skyscrapers, like 30, 40 story buildings. Downtown Detroit that are abandoned, the whole thing is like this black ghetto, so it's kind of surreal. They're good mates, and with that, I think I'll just let the Wiggles sing us out. Good song. I use it sometimes for some of my other shows. But anyway, I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, residents of the planet Rockstar, please welcome on stage King Mondo, the Wiggles, and Captain Feathersword.
Now listen!
We're listening!
Oh, we're stepping out! Gonna turn you around!
Turn around, everybody!
Gonna turn you around once and we'll do the Eagle Rock. You give me a sign. Just gotta give me a sign. I'm gonna do the Eagle Rock. Come on!
Ahoy there, King Mondo!
Oh, you rock is swell. Yes, you do it so well. Yes, you do it so well. When we do the Eagle Rock.
Hey, hey, hey. Good old Eagle Rock's here to stay. I'm just crazy.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because